in a conversation with my wife, she asked me about my feelings, my emotions, following my brother's death 14 years ago. Over 14 years ago, prior to knowing Jessica, my brother died in a car accident. And with this question, I found it difficult to think back, what was I thinking 14 years ago? What emotions, what feelings did I have? And reflecting, I saw that there were feelings of bitterness, of anger toward God. There were feelings of confusion. What is happening? Why is this going on? Despondency, anxiety, fear, depression, and other emotions. But a reflection on this question, what was it like when my brother was tragically taken in a car accident? I reflected back to one moment. That moment took place August 2nd, 2005, the date of my brother's accident. Our family had 50 friends in the hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, gathered together, and we were praying. It is one of the most, it's a prayer meeting that I look back to fondly. I felt the presence of the Lord greatly. I felt encouragement from the Holy Spirit greatly, and I just sensed God's presence being close with our family. And as I left that prayer meeting, I was assured God was going to heal my brother. But then about 2 hours later, the doctor came and informed us that my brother had died. Healing did not come, and at that moment, instead of feeling the Lord's presence, I felt abandoned by the Lord. I felt forsaken by the Lord. And feelings of abandonment, of being forsaken by God, can be common in our lives. In grieving the loss of a loved one, in suffering through an illness, in the loss of a relationship, in times of deep loneliness, we feel as if God has abandoned us. Ed Welch, in his book on depression, he writes that abandonment is a common feeling in depression. And he says this, "Being alone is terrifying. Abandonment is a constant fear in depression." And just as we can struggle with these feelings of abandonment, of being forsaken, in the Psalms we see this struggle. Feelings of abandonment, sensing that God has abandoned us. And over the past couple of Sundays, we've been in Psalm 20, 21, and now Psalm 22. In Psalm 20, we saw that the people interceded for the king in the day of trouble, that there was a praying for God's favor. In Psalm 21, we see rejoicing over God's strength, the victory that God had given. But now, life comes crashing down as God has forsaken His people. Or that's the sense that we get in Psalm 22. God has abandoned His people. Suffering threatens to overwhelm His people, and God seems absent. I imagine you can relate to Psalm 22. I certainly can. And so what we want to do is to consider Psalm 22 and what this psalm might teach us about trusting the Lord, walking by faith in the Lord, when the Lord's presence seemed to have vanished, when God seems to be absent from our pain and difficulties. So we're going to consider Psalm 22. And as we consider this psalm, I'm going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word as we consider how the Lord would be speaking to us in this psalm. So it's a little bit longer than some of the other psalms we've looked at, but let's listen as we sit under God's Word. Psalm 22:1. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from birth, my birth. And from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like ravaging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far off. For you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of David, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when we cry to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm of great pain, this psalm of great hope. And we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would give clarity to my words. In your mighty, precious name we see. Amen. You may be seated. In the opening of this psalm, we see this theme of abandonment. Right? It just opens right up. My God, why have you forsaken me? Lamenting God's absence in a time of great need. But although David feels as if God has abandoned him, he continues to seek after the Lord. And you'll see that theme throughout the psalm. And Psalm 22, I would say, is a model for us. An example for us. A model for how to prayerfully trust the Lord even when we feel as if God has abandoned us. Even when God's absence seems to flee from us, it's a model for trusting, prayerful faith as we walk with the Lord. We are to imitate David's prayerful trust in the Lord during times of abandonment. And to help us reflect on this idea of trusting the Lord in times of abandonment, I would like for us to consider three questions. Okay? Three questions on this theme of abandonment. And the first question is, what feelings are prominent during abandonment? What feelings do you have? What feelings are we prone to having when God seems to have abandoned us? When we move to a new city, but we're lonely with the lack of friends. When we feel trapped in a pointless job. When we hope for a healthy relationship, but we do not have one. What emotions do you struggle with? A few weeks ago, I was at a park with my children. And when we were there, there was this about 2 or 3 year old boy. And he started to just scream and cry. He was terrified. You could just see this kid trembling and shaking as he was crying. And his problem was that he could not find his mother. His mother was nowhere to be seen in his part. I went and asked, Do you see her? And I was trying to help this kid. My daughters came along trying to somehow comfort him and pat him. But he was terrified because he could not find his mother. And it probably took 15 minutes for us to find this kid's mother. And friends, as I think about that circumstance, we can be much like a 3-year-old kid that cannot find their mother, that is terrified. There are times in life where terror overwhelms us. And that is an emotion that we can have when we sense as if we have been abandoned. Terror is our experience. Fear is our experience at times. And in Psalm 22, we see that terror or fear marks the experience of the psalmist. He says at the end of verse 1, "Why are you so far from saving me?" Verse 11, "For trouble is near, for there is none to help." Verse 17, "They stare and gloat over me." The context of verse 17 is that death seems certain. He's fearful of death. Sensing that we've been abandoned by God, terror fills our hearts. And in feelings of terror or fear, there are often thoughts that enter our mind. Think about a time where maybe you've been fearful. And one common thought that fear can produce in our lives is that God is absent. You ever sense that? That God is absent from your need. That God is nowhere to be found. He is silent. And our desperate cries for help seem to go unanswered. That's what David is experiencing in verse 2. "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest." Suffering is most severe, most painful when God seems absent. So our fear grows as we sense that God is absent from our need. That is one thought that fear can produce in our minds. A second thought that can come about is that I am insignificant. Fear produces a thought that I am worthless or insignificant. This thought is seen as David describes himself as being a worm and not a man in verse 6. In life, there are a lot of characteristics of animals that we would like to maybe be associated with, right? You might want to have the courage of a lion, right? Maybe the cuteness of a koala bear. I've always thought koala bears were kind of cute. Maybe the speed of a cheetah. But no one would want to be associated with a worm. Is there anything positive about a worm? I don't know. I'm not a scientist that's that familiar with like characteristics of a worm. What are positive characteristics of a worm? They are gross. They are slimy. They're dirty. Just worms are not that appealing. Maybe you love worms. Maybe you have a worm farm in your house. God bless you. But I just don't love worms. And to describe yourself as being like a worm is a degrading statement. Willem von Gimmeren says this: "It expresses his feeling of being less than human. The sense of human dignity is lost when it seems that God is absent and that people reject him." So as he's saying, "I am a worm," he's saying, "I am worthless. God has neglected me. I am insignificant. I have little worth." In Job 25, verse 6, Bildad, if you've read through Job, Bildad is one of these supposed friends that speaks to Job. And here's what he says: "How much less man who is a maggot, the son of man who is a worm." So that's the point, that you're worthless or insignificant. When God seems absent, when pain comes, abandonment produces thoughts of worthlessness. A third thought that fear produces is that my difficulties will overwhelm me. Right? God is absent. I feel insignificant. Then I am going to be overrun with my difficulties. They are going to produce great pain and difficulty. The difficult circumstances that David spoke about were that his enemies were going to harm him and destroy him. From verses 12 through 18, you see this. David speaks of the fear of being overwhelmed, being surrounded by the bulls of Bashan. Okay, you see that in verse 12. Bashan was an area east of the Sea of Galilee. And it was an area known for lots of rainfall, good agriculture, and well-fed cattle. The bulls, the cows were well-fed. They were fat. You would want to eat the beef off of a cow from Bashan, right? So in speaking of the bulls of Bashan surrounding them, David is not speaking about, you know, being at the rodeo and having some bulls surround you and about to horn you to death. That's not what he's speaking about. What he's speaking about is that there are prideful and arrogant people. The bulls of Bashan characterize self-centered, prideful, arrogant people that have surrounded him. But not only are they prideful and arrogant, but he pictures them as being like a roaring lion seeking to devour him. So the picture is prideful, self-centered, arrogant people who are willing to destroy other people to get what they want. And that's who David is surrounded by. And the result is great fear. David is in great personal anguish. Like water poured out, or like wax that melts in a candle, David's inward strength is gone. He has no courage, no strength, no hope. It's been zapped away. His body feels out of sorts. He is a broken man, like broken pottery. That's the picture in verse 15 with potsherd. It's broken pottery. Unable to speak as the tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. He fears the worst, his death. And that's the picture we see in verse 17 and 18. As people stare at him, as his bones, he's basically like skin and bones is what he's describing here. And they divide his garments. That's a picture when you divide someone's garments that they are about to die. And that's the experience of David here. Can you relate to any of these feelings? Thinking that God is absent, that you are insignificant, that your difficulties will overwhelm you? I think these are common. I've commonly had these thoughts and feelings at different points in my life. But in the midst of these feelings, this is what we feel in abandonment. What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to look for relief? Where are we supposed to look for hope? That brings us to our second question. Where should my focus be during times of abandonment? What should I focus on? What should I look to? We don't go and look to relief from alcohol or from a tub of chocolate ice cream. Right? Feelings of abandonment will come, but when they come, our focus is not to be exclusively on our feelings. Our focus needs to be on the Lord. Theology is immensely practical to our everyday lives. Theology is immensely practical when you go through times of abandonment, depression, anxiety, fear. We call back and remind ourselves of the truth of God. His Word needs to be spoken into our feelings of abandonment. And that's what David does. And I want you to notice what truths David reminds himself of in the psalm. And the first thing I think we need to remind ourselves, we need to focus on the Lord by reminding ourselves of God's character. Remind ourselves of the character of God. This is what David does in this psalm. And I want you to notice with me, follow along with me as I just skim through verses, the first 21 verses. Listen to what we see here. In the first two verses, David cries out to God in his pain, right? Why have you forsaken me? Then notice what he does in verse 3. He says, yet you are holy. Okay, right? His feelings are God is abandoning. Then in verse 3 he says, yet you are holy. He goes back to the character of God. God is holy. God is enthroned on the throne. He is the holy ruler of all. But then he goes back to his feelings in verse 6. But I am a worm. I am worthless. I am not a man. But then he goes back to the character of God in verse 9. He's being ridiculed. He feels like a worm. And then he goes back to, yet you are the one who took me from the womb. He reminds himself, in verse 3, he reminds himself of the holiness of God, the authority, the power of God. But then in verse 9, he reminds himself of the Lord's love, the Lord's compassion. But then as he's reminding himself of the Lord's character, His love, he goes back to his experience. He feels like he's being poured out like water, that his strength is gone. But he does not stay there in that feeling. In verse 19, he goes back to the character of God. That the Lord is His gracious deliverer. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Friends, catch this in this psalm. David is constantly having feelings of abandonment, but he constantly goes back to the character of God. And that is the Christian life. You have emotions and feelings that are real, but you're constantly going back to the character of God. You're constantly speaking the truth of the gospel in your experience, in your feelings, in your emotions. David focuses on particularly two aspects of God's character. God's holiness, authority, and power in verses 3 through 5. And God's goodness as our protector, provider, and deliverer in verses 9 through 11 and 19 through 21. When suffering strikes, when feelings of abandonment come, these are two truths that we are tempted to doubt. That God is sovereign, all-powerful, and that God is good. But when suffering strikes, our need is to remind ourselves of God's character as our good and sovereign, all-powerful Lord, who is compassionate, loving, and good to us. So friends, that's one thing we need to focus on, is the character of God. But secondly, our focus needs to be on the work of Christ. Psalm 22 speaks to the anguish that David felt during great suffering. But more than David, Psalm 22 points us to the cross of Christ. In verse 1 of Psalm 22, we'll notice that this is what Jesus quotes when He's being crucified on the cross. Mark 15:34, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then in Psalm 22:18, the Apostle John quotes this verse when Jesus' clothing is auctioned off by the Roman soldiers as Jesus is crucified. But why did Jesus cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was He expressing when He said that? D.A. Carson says this, in the cry, Jesus expresses the horror of the world's sin and the cost of our salvation. The horror of sin and the cost of our salvation. On the cross, Jesus willingly chose to become our sin offering. To become sin in our place. We read earlier from Galatians 3:13, where it said that He became our curse. That Jesus was cursed for us. He bore our curse of sin. We see the horror of sin. So on the cross, when Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's bearing the full brunt of the wrath of God for our sin. The punishment, the curse of our sin. And so in this dark moment, the horror of sin's punishment is poured upon Christ. And the Father turned away. Charles Cranfield wrote this, the burden of the world's sin, His complete self-identification with sinners, involved not merely a felt, but a real abandonment by His Father. So friends, what I believe Psalm 22 points us to is that we might consider the cost of our salvation, that we might consider the work of Christ on the cross. that Jesus Christ came to be identified with us, that He suffered with us, that He bore the full wrath of God for our sins, that we might be redeemed, forgiven, and that we might share in Christ's perfect righteousness. In feelings of abandonment, we need to remind ourselves of who we are because of Christ. We need to remind ourselves of the redemption we have through Christ. We need to remind ourselves of the love that's been poured upon us richly through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake He, Christ, for He made Him to be no sin who knew no sin." Christ became sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That Christ became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. But friends, I believe that Christ's abandonment on the cross has something else to teach us. It not only reminds us of the cost of our salvation, the joy of Christ's redemption, but also the reality of suffering. In life, we will have times where we feel abandoned by God. But in the midst of those feelings, the work of Christ on the cross should encourage us to continue trusting Him. And I want to read a short quote by J.C. Ryle. He was a pastor in England in the 19th century. And here's what he wrote. "As it was with the great head of the church, Jesus Christ, so it may, in a modified sense, be with its members, us." They too, though chosen and beloved by the Father, may sometimes feel God's face turn away from them. They too, sometimes from illness of body, sometimes from peculiar affection, sometimes from carelessness of walk, sometimes from God's sovereign will to draw them nearer to Himself, may be constrained to cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" What he's saying here is that if Christ was forsaken on the cross for our redemption, sometimes in life we might sense that God has forsaken us. We might go through times of loneliness, feelings of abandonment. Sometimes, as God brings suffering in our life in order to bring us closer to Himself. So sometimes suffering will come, but our focus needs to be on Christ. So far, we've considered the feelings of abandonment and our focus in times of abandonment. And now I would like us to consider the third question. How do I find hope in abandonment? In verse 21, at the end of verse 21, the psalm takes a dramatic turn. Previously, David's complaint had been that the Lord had not answered his cries. The Lord is silent. But at the end of verse 21, the psalm changed. The Lord has answered and responded to him. The Lord has answered, strengthened, and filled David with joy in His presence. Now, filled with hope, David abounds in praise to the Lord. At the end of verse 22 and verse 23, he says, "In the midst of the congregation, I will praise You. You who fear the Lord, praise Him." Verse 25, "From You comes my praise in the great congregation." Verse 27, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before You." Praise flows out of hopeful hearts. David is hopeful here. He's full of joy. The first 21 verses of darkness, and now we see hope and joy in the Lord. And our hope in the midst of feelings of abandonment is grounded in two promises in the Lord. I want to look at two promises here. One promise is that fills us with great hope is that the Lord has gathered His people. You see this in verse 22 where David says, "I will tell your name to my brothers." But if we turn to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12, we see that this is not merely David saying, "I'm going to declare praises to God in a congregation." But this refers to Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2, the author speaks of the superiority of Christ. Everything is under Christ's control. He is the founder of our salvation. Through His suffering on the cross, Jesus Christ has made holy. He has sanctified a people for Himself. And so, when this psalm speaks of proclaiming the name of the Lord, it is referring to Jesus revealing God to us. Jesus manifesting the glory of God to us for the purpose of bringing us home, redeeming us, reconciling us to the Father. About 15 years ago, there was a movie about the Vietnam War called We Were Soldiers. Mel Gibson was the main character in the movie. And the movie centers on a dangerous battle between the North Vietnamese and the Americans. And there were many casualties and many injuries. And at the close of this movie, you see soldiers returning home. Some not injured, but some in wheelchairs and some in coffins. And the narrator says these words about the soldiers returning home. Some had families waiting. For others, the only family they would be the men they bled beside. There were no bands, no flags, no honor guards. So as these soldiers who fought returned, there was no home, no family to welcome them. And friends, much like soldiers coming back to no family, the Bible tells us that in our sin we were alienated from God. Enemies of God, lost in our sin, without hope. But Jesus Christ has come to redeem us, to bring us back home to a right relationship with God. John Piper says this, "One of the great aims of God in this whole drama of His Son coming into the world, living, dying, rising, bringing of people together, together a family." And that's one of the purposes of Scripture, the purpose of redemption, is God gathering His people, bringing them home to be with Him. A second promise that fills us with great hope is that Christ's purposes will be fulfilled. And Psalm 22 is a psalm of lament, a sense of abandonment. But at the close of the psalm, David is assured of God's promises. Listen to some of the things he says. "Suffering, pain, sadness, anxiety, fear, difficulties will not thwart the purposes of God." And look at what he says. He says in verse 26, "The afflicted will be satisfied." Verse 27, "The ends of the earth, the nations will turn to God in repentance." Verse 29, "Rich and poor will join in adoration of God. And this worship will continue with coming generations," verse 30 and 31. So you see this idea of satisfaction, of the gospel going forth to all nations, of rich and poor, different ethnic groups coming to worship God for all generations. And in reflecting on the sovereign purposes of God in the midst of our suffering, I'd like to tell you a short story. The story is about a woman named Joni Erickson Tada. Some of you might have heard of her. At the age of 17, she suffered a spinal cord injury through diving. She was paralyzed. No movement of her arms or legs. And 9 years ago, after suffering with this for about 50 years, in a wheelchair, paralyzed, she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. So think about this. You're paralyzed for almost all your life. Then you get diagnosed with breast cancer. Pain is a regular part of your everyday life. What hope is there? What thoughts would enter your mind? What questions would you have if that was you, in a wheelchair your whole life, and now to the end of your life, diagnosed with cancer? Going through chemotherapy, going through those difficult battles, How would you be prone to doubting the purposes of God? But in the midst of her pain, Joni trusts the Lord. She throws herself on the mercy of Christ. And listen to what she said about the sovereignty of God in the midst of her sufferings. Every sorrow we taste will one day prove to be the best possible thing that could have happened to us. Listen to that. She says, every sorrow we taste will one day prove to be the best possible thing that could happen to us. We will thank God endlessly in heaven for the trials that He sent us here. This is a woman that's been paralyzed and now battling cancer. And yet she is rejoicing in the purpose, the sovereign purposes of God in the midst of her pain. And friends, suffering will come for us. Sometimes times of great sorrow and feeling that God had abandoned us. But in the midst of these feelings, let us assure ourselves of the hope we have in Christ. David in this psalm reminds himself of the character of God, of the promises of God. He's assured of the victory that God will have. And one day we will look from heaven upon the sovereign purposes of the Lord and thank God endlessly. Thank God endlessly for His sovereign purposes, for His plans, for His redemption, for His marvelous love to us, His people. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this psalm. I thank You for Psalm 22. I thank You for this reality just of who You are. Of reflecting on these feelings of doubt, these feelings of pain that we do suffer. But in the midst of these feelings, how this call to focus on You, focus on Your character, focus on Your redemption, focus on the hope of promises that we have through Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for these blessings. May You cause us to abound in hope and joy in You. In Your mighty, precious name we do pray. Amen.